And so Jacob gets to this place, and we see maybe for the first time that Jacob prayed. And he in verse 9 of chapter 32, we see, oh God, my father of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, let me go back to my country and relatives. I will make you prosper. And he starts to dig in with the Lord a little bit. But Jacob is Jacob, and he is named well. He is named well as the heel grasper, this guy who's always kind of wanting a little bit more and grasping for a little bit more. And so we get to verse 22, and it says, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford at the Jabbok. That's a river. If you're looking for it, it's between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, just to the east a little bit of there in what's modern-day Jordan. So if you're looking at it in your Bible maps, that's where you'll find it. But he gets this ford in the river. He says, oh, we're going to go ahead and cross. We're going to go ahead and move everybody out. And he's worried about it. It's the middle of the night. He got up that night and did all this. And he was taking his people across the ford in the river in the Jabbok. Verse 23, after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So he sends them across. He sends all of his stuff across. It's the middle of the night. He is freaking out. If you're not reading it, his anxiety level's way up. Jacob's worried. He's sweating bullets. It's the middle of the night. How do you guys handle the middle of the night stuff when stuff's flowing in your mind in the middle of the night? How does that work for you? Got to get something. You got to get up. You got to get moving. You got to get going. I got to do something about this. And so this is what Jacob is doing. He's saying, we're going now. I want to be ready, right? So he sends everybody across. And then look what it says, verse 24. So Jacob was left alone. Remember, he's sending all these people ahead of him. He wants Esau to encounter all of this other before he gets to Jacob. I think for a couple reasons. Jacob wants Esau to see that he's been prosperous, that he's got gifts, that he's got a family to care for. Maybe that'll make him go easier. But he also wants to see, is Esau going to be mean to everybody? How's he going to handle me? How am I going to process with him? Is he going to chase after me? Verse 24, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When I was reading this, that felt like that just got slapped in the middle of there in a really weird way. And when stuff happens like that as you're reading the scriptures, I think you need to take note of that. That just got slapped in there in a really weird way. So I need to pay attention to that. I need to think about what's going on with that. And it says, so this man was there and he wrestled with him. So who do you expect that man to be? If you're just reading the story and you've never read it before, maybe you haven't read it before, who do you expect that man to be? It's Esau, this brother who's ticked. You expect it to be his brother Esau, who he did terribly wrong to and then fled 20 years ago away from. That's who I kind of thought was going to be who Jacob was going to be wrestling with here. But spoiler alert, it's not Esau. This is not Esau that Jacob is wrestling with. So when he was left alone, and he started wrestling with him until daybreak. So it's the middle of the night, and there's this wrestling match that happens until daybreak. Now, I know most of us in the room, when we were kids, we wrestled with somebody at some point, right? How long can you wrestle without getting tired? Not very long. Not very long. If you go to a wrestling match, a college wrestling match, or a high school wrestling match, those matches are about 6 minutes. And the guys walk off the mat, and they're pouring sweat. They can barely move anymore. They're whooped. I mean, 6 or 7 minutes of wrestling is incredible. The strain is incredible. And this says this went on most of the night. It went on till daybreak. And then this just gets weirder and weirder as you read this. Just so you know. That's what happens in the scripture sometimes. It just gets weirder and weirder, and you got to figure out what's going on with it. This just gets weirder and weirder. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. So we're hearing about this weird guy. They wrestled all night. When this guy realized, whoever Jacob's wrestling is, realized that he couldn't overcome him, he touched his hip and disabled him. Somehow. I mean, just touched it. So what is happening a little bit here? Well, if you're following along, and I know you are, if you're reading your scriptures and you're knowing the story, this takes us back to earlier in Genesis, doesn't it? Where Abraham had just been circumcised. And he's waiting around the tent, and these three men show up and engage Abraham. It's this holy moment that we're starting to see here. And we're starting to get peeked to this is not just some guy that Jacob's wrestling with. There's something else happening here. And there's a lot of discussion about who this is. Some people say this is God, actually God, who Jacob is wrestling with. And some others that are just as wise and love Jesus just as much say, This is a messenger of God, an angel of God who Jacob's wrestling with, just like there's discussion about the three men that showed up to Abraham. That is a bigger discussion than we can get into unless y'all want to be here until about 5:30 this afternoon. But here's what I can tell you without a question. Whether this is God or a messenger from God, this is a holy, holy moment. And what is happening here is between Jacob and God, either via his messenger or with God himself. That's what's happening here. This is a holy moment. This is not just some crazed, dusty dude that crawled out of the desert to wrestle with Jacob. This is probably the most impressive person that Jacob has ever encountered his entire life, and he's wrestling with him. Now, if we take that back and think about this is what's going on. Here's who Jacob's wrestling with. This is taking us back to Abraham and who Abraham encountered. I think it's really interesting to see the difference in the responses of these two men. When Abraham encountered these three men and these holy men that were coming and noticed that they were different, that this was a messenger of God or this was God, what did Abraham do? Do you remember? We talked about it a number of weeks ago. But Abraham bowed down. And then Abraham went running all around his camp, all around his tent, all around his people, and had food prepared and had things cooked and had, you know, there was this whole hospitality piece, this welcome, this come be a part. And then he worshiped. He laid down on his face and worshiped, and he said, I know who you are. What did Jacob do when this holy person walked into camp that night? What did he see and do? Jacob threw down with him. Jacob threw his gloves off and went after him. Jacob started swinging and wrestling and focused on this. In this wrestle with God, struggle with God, in this grasp at it way. Now, before we get too hard on Jacob on that, one of the things that I think we're going to see coming up is this idea that we get from Israelite culture, Jewish culture, this idea called chutzpah. And if you like to hear that in a funny, it's a gravelly thing in your throat. It's chutzpah. That's not how we do stuff. It kind of feels funny in our throats because we don't say the like that. But it's this idea of chutzpah. It's this idea of gravitas, this idea of I'm going to go after things. I'm going to grab onto them strongly. I'm going to grab. That's maybe one of the very few places that we in American culture can relate to Jewish culture in a really significant way. Is sometimes Americans are like that. We're thought of as being loud. We're thought of as grabbing onto things. We're thought of as going after in some cool ways. That can get us in trouble, and we've seen how Jacob gets in trouble with that. But there's this idea of chutzpah that's coming through this. And I want us to track, how does God feel about chutzpah? How does God feel about being going after? So if this is God or a very significant representative of God that Jacob is wrestling with, what happens on the backside of the wrestle? How does that inform us about who we are and who God is? So let's keep digging. So he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. But why did he do that? Do you remember? This man saw that he could not overpower him. Now, we just talked about who this is. It's either this angelic representative of God, this angel of the Lord. Don't think white cape, magical wings, all that stuff. Think strong, big, powerful being. And he's wrestling. And he says, I couldn't overcome. And then we read in just a couple words, but then he touched his hip and he won. Like, so there's this, we've got to understand, what does he mean by he couldn't overcome him? Because he did. And it was just this touch of a hip that overcame him. So there's, how do we understand that? It made me start processing through a little bit who this is, who's wrestling with. It made me think about when my kids were little. And we would wrestle on the floor. We would play around and be wrestling on the floor. There was no doubt many moons ago, they could probably both take me easily now, but there was no doubt many moons ago when we were wrestling that I would win. No question. I could win, no problem. But there was this point when I was wrestling with them that I realized that they weren't going to quit. That I hadn't worn them out. Like, so when I see this in here and it talks about he couldn't overpower him, he could because he did overpower him. This angel overpowered Jacob. But there was this no quit in Jacob that God or the angel recognized. There was this no quit, this chutzpah, this stick-to-itiveness, this stay after it-ness. And I think that's what he's saying here when he says that he couldn't overpower him. He figured out Jacob was not gonna quit. He figured out that Jacob was grabbed on. This is part of who he was and the strength that went with that. So he touched his hip, and then the man said, let me go for it's daybreak. And then look at what Jacob says. It's really interesting. He says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob just went 37 rounds with this guy. Jacob just got his hip knocked out of place, and you know that's painful. And yet he didn't let go. He hung on because I think Jacob knew exactly who he was wrestling with here. Jacob said, I am not going to let go. Please bless me. I'm not going to let go unless you bless me. And then the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. And if you read that, and as I've read that 100 times this week, Jacob, when he says Jacob there in verse 27, it sounds to me, the more I've read it, sort of like a confession. You know, like, yeah, my name's Jacob. Like, I can't help it. You know, like, I'm sorry, my name's Jacob. This is who I am. I'm a heel grasper. I'm the striver after things that aren't mine. This is who I am. And then I want to draw your attention to a couple other things that maybe this is getting off the track here, but Jacob means to wrestle, right? And to struggle. So Jacob is Jacobing with this guy. In the Hebrew, you got to see the word play. It's highlighting what's happening. Jacob wrestling, he's Jacobing with this angel of the Lord. He's being himself. This is who he is. How are you grabbing onto that? Who are you, in other words? And how is that informing? How are you engaging with the Lord? Jacob's just being Jacob. It's interesting how that plays right there. So Jacob is Jacobing with God, and he's kind of confessing, this is my name. And then the man said, verse 28, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. I'm changing your name. You're no longer Jacob, but Israel. So Jacob was this heel grasper, this grabber after things, but he got renamed Israel, which means struggle with God. Wrestle with God, struggle with God. That's what Israel means. So the people of God, way back in the Old Testament, they were named wrestle with God. I thought that was pretty informative to me about how God expects his people to relate to him. Both in the good side of that and the bad side. Like, we need to wrestle with God. He's not afraid of us wrestling with him. He's not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our fears. He's not afraid of our distractions. He's not afraid of any of those things. How do we, are we willing to wrestle with God? Or do we just throw our hands up and say, hey, it's not worth it to me? God wants us to be people who will wrestle with him. He named his very people that, Israel. He named Jacob that. He said, you are now Israel. You are a wrestler with God. You are a struggler with God. You just proved it. And he blessed them. Your name is Israel because you've struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. And he said, why do you ask me that? He said, why do you ask me my name? And then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, verse 30, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet life was spared, and yet my life was spared. Peniel, as we just see right here, it means the face of God. I've seen God's face. So I think it's also interesting, these names and all the connections that happen with them in the scriptures, when you dig into them, it's really interesting. Jacob, self-focused, striver, grasper, went to this place that God named Face of God. So he went to the face of God to become who God wanted him to be, which is somebody who will wrestle with him and engage with him. And so where do you see the face of God? How do you engage the face of God? How do you process that through? How do you live that out? And then it says, verse 31, the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. If you read the verb there, this limping, that was an ongoing limp. It's that he continued to limp forever. This touch from God, this touch from this messenger of God caused a limp. But it caused a limp that drew Jacob to God and formed him and shaped him into God's person to be able to do what God needed him and wanted him to do going forward. So that challenged me this week to think about how is it that the things that I feel like are my limps, the things that I feel like are my struggles, how do I allow those things to be used by God? How do I let those limps and those struggles and those sacrifices, how do I let those form and shape in me? Or am I just ashamed of them and I try to hide them away from everything and everyone? Do I try to mask my limp? How do you process that? Are you trying to mask your limp, or do you see your limp as what God used to draw you to him? So this way, as Jacob crosses the Jabbok and goes to meet his brother, he enters that meeting not as the old deceiver, the old taker of things that weren't his, but as a man who has been changed by God. So how are you going to go forward and enter into the next few interactions in your life? Are you going to go forward and enter those interactions as someone who's been changed by God or back in your old ways? So a couple of thoughts, and then we'll wrap it up this morning. Sometimes God allows us to reach the end of ourselves before he begins his greatest work in us. So where are you at the end of yourself, and what work is God doing in you? Maybe another question you can ask is, where am I trusting my own ability more than God's faithfulness? And then I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you, and I'm challenging myself. I'm looking in the mirror when I'm saying this. Our scars and weaknesses and limps can become reminders of God's faithfulness rather than the source of shame. So what weakness do you need to reframe from shame to reminder of what God's doing? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our time this morning. Thank you that you are willing to wrestle with us, that you want us to be so intimate with you that we would wrestle with you, that we would struggle with you, that we would be formed and shaped by you. Will you challenge us? Will you grow us? Will you encourage us? But more than anything, Father, will you help us to know you more and more each day? In your name I pray. Amen.